Hi, Drunkenistas, and welcome back to another episode of On the Rocks with Ranjanae, the show where we stop overthinking and we start drinking. I came here to party and I ain't going. It's time to stop overthinking and start drinking. Hi. I really don't know how to start this episode, and I feel like it's going to be a difficult episode for me because it's sad bitch hours. And if there's one thing that I don't like doing, it's being sad, or at least not necessarily being sad. I think it's more so speaking about why I'm sad. I know a lot of times I come on here, I joke about my problems, I tell you guys what I'm going through, and I really lay everything out on the line. I try to be as vulnerable as possible when doing so, but I always use comedy as a defense mechanism, and today, I can't do that. There is no part in my body that wants to be funny, or at least right now. Like, your girl may throw out a joke or two, but like, that's not what my brain is going through. And it hasn't been what my brain has been going through for the past couple of weeks. I mean, I've missed a couple upload dates. And I really did not want my first episode back. I'm like, I leave every couple of months and then I come back. Woo! No, but I really did not want my first episode back to be me in my sad bitch hours. And here I have been every single week pushing off uploading because I wanted to come back with a funny story. I wanted to share a great experience. I wanted to drink a drink with you guys and laugh. But the reality is I am not able to do that right now. And I don't think that I'll be able to do it until I get everything that I've been going through off of my chest and just really restart and be true to myself. I know that this is a comedy podcast and I do like to share jokes. I do like to make you guys laugh. I do like to share my stories, but I also need to share those other parts of myself without the defense of comedy so that you guys know that I'm not just this happy-go-lucky girl every single week, because that's not the reality. I am very much human and I go through my range of emotions. And as much as I like to oppress them, because child, I do, as much as I like to oppress them, they continue to resurface because I'm not addressing them. And the fact that they're coming in between me and something that I love so much, which is creating this podcast for you all, is not okay. And it's not okay because not simply is it coming in between me and creating this podcast, because this podcast means so much more to me than just like coming on and sharing a story. This is really like my creative release. Like, I have grown up and I've just been a storyteller by nature. I love how different stories that we share help us to connect with one another, help us to learn about one another, help us to laugh with one another, help us to realize that we are more alike than we are different from one another. You know, there's so much power in stories, and that's something that I've always loved. I've always loved sitting down at night for a bedtime story. I've always loved meeting strangers and hearing about their background and their upbringing, what brought them to the point that they are now. I love meeting with new people and hearing about what they want to do with their lives, like how they're going to get there, what they're passionate about and what they've done. You know, like, I just love stories, and there's so much rooted in a story. Like, you can just tell so much about a person, and the ways that I've been feeling recently have affected me from sharing my stories, because I think I put myself in this box where I said, you have to be funny every week. You have to come onto this podcast. You have to make relatable content. You have to make it be funny. And that is too much pressure to be putting on myself. Because at the end of the day, I just need to be coming onto this podcast and being Ranjanae. And that's it. And sometimes Ronjanae is a sad bitch, like with no funny bone in her body. And that's how I feel right now. And that's how I felt for a couple of weeks. And it's just because there's been a lot that's been going on in my life and a lot of nothing that's been going on in my life as well. I know that seems very confusing, but I'll debunk it for you all. And throughout what I've been going through, I have once again used comedy as a defense mechanism. So I think that whenever I talk about my problems to my family, my friends, co-workers, and anyone else that I may share what I'm going through with, I never truly tell them how painful, how exhausting, how miserable I may be. And that's because I don't like to be vulnerable. I don't like people to picture me as being weak, being fragile. You know, I've always just been a very strong-headed individual with a lot of wit and determination. And even in my worst moments, I will not admit to you how much I may need help. And I'm realizing that that's a problem. Like, I shouldn't be carrying this weight on me every single week. Or it's not every single week, but recently it has been. But I shouldn't be carrying this weight on me simply to have others perceive me as being strong with wit and determination. Because if those people see me as strong and with wit and determination, they're going to see me as that through my good times and my bad times. But through my bad times, if I truly express to them how miserable I may be, then you know what? They're going to pick me up and be a shoulder to cry on. And that's what I've come to the realization of. Comedy is great. I love a good laugh. But if I don't tell people how stressed out, how miserable, how upset, how frustrated, how whatever I may be going through, I may be, then I'm never going to correct the problem. I'm just going to pacifier it. Oh my goodness, not me thinking that I'd have a whole therapy session on here today, but it's the truth of the matter. And I'm accepting that. And I'm accepting that I am still strong and I still have wit and determination through my bad moments. And maybe that's why I just don't like to admit or care to admit how miserable I may be in my bad moments, because I perceive myself as just being weak. And maybe others never perceive me as being weak. I don't fucking know, but I just don't like that feeling. And I'd rather just bottle everything up. I'd bottle everything up. And it came to the point where everything erupted. As one thing would. Like, you can't bottle anything up for too long. But I've been bottling up those emotions, guys. So when it really came to its boiling point and the top popped off, I would say it was about like a month ago. I called my best friend. God bless her soul. I called my best friend and I didn't want to FaceTime, but I had been texting her just saying that I was really stressed. You guys know that's my favorite word. Like, I like to use stressed in any conversation. Even when I'm not truly stressed, I find a reason to be stressed or a reason to use the word stress. So that's like my favorite word. And I was texting her. I said, I've just been really stressed recently. I don't know what I'm gonna do with my life. I feel like I work so hard and I'm not getting anywhere. But then I look back and I see how far I've come. And I think I'm just in such a mucky area, such a transitional phase of my life right now, that that's why I'm feeling just these convoluted feelings where one day I feel so secure in who I am and what I'm doing and where I'm going. And then the next day I don't. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Why is it so hard? Am I ever going to move out of my parents? Like, my feelings are so convoluted right now. And I just expressed that to her and she goes, do you want me to call? And I said, yes, go ahead and call. And I think it's because, I didn't mention this, but now I am. I also started sending her voice memos. So she was starting, my voice just cracked, what the heck? She was starting to hear the sadness in my voice. So she then proceeded by calling me and she actually FaceTimed, but I said, girl, I cannot answer a FaceTime call because if I talk to you about this, like face to face, I'm going to cry. Like I know myself. And it was just to that point where I don't cry often. Like in fact, I cry maybe once a year, which is probably like not the like, it's not a flex. Like it's not a flex. I just have never been a big crier. And I don't know why it's not a flex. I'm not trying to be like, I cry once a year. No, but truly I probably cry once a year. And this was that time. Like I knew that if I talked to her face to face on this FaceTime call that I was going to cry. And that's not what I wanted to do. Now, this has been my best friend for over 10 years. She has seen me cry on many of occasions. Like out of the 10 years that we've been friends, she's probably seen me cry like 10 times, like once a year. So she is used to it, I assume. Like she was not going to pass any judgment at the end of the day, but I just didn't want to cry in front of her still. Like I'm still so uncomfortable with crying in front of this person that's been my best friend for 10 years. So just imagine how uncomfortable it is for me to tell you all this, you know, just to put it in perspective. Anyways, she calls me on FaceTime. I declined that. I declined it so quickly. I said, no, I'm not answering your FaceTime call. I'm going to cry. Right. So then she calls me back, just a normal call. I answer and she says, look, I don't care if you cry on FaceTime with me, but I want to talk to you face to face. And you know, my ass had to do it. Like, that was really what I needed her to say. Like, I don't care if you cry. I just want to talk to you. I know that I can't be there right now in person, but this is the next best thing. And we're going to talk through this. So she FaceTimes me and I answer, and our conversation had to be like 2-3 hours. It was a really lengthy conversation because once again, I cry like once a year. And when I do cry, it's because everything has built up on itself in that moment. Like everything had just continued to build and I needed to release. So I just went on a tangent. And the tangent kind of started off slow because whenever I started opening up, I was, you know, using comedy as the defense mechanism, really not going into what I was experiencing and trying to just be so sugarcoaty and say everything surface level. And she knows when I'm on my bullshit. And in that moment, I was on my bullshit. So she just sat, she listened, she chimed in. But most importantly, she sat and listened. And as she continued to sit and she continued to listen, I continued to open up and really got to the root of what was frustrating me, why I felt like I was not adequate and all those deep-rooted issues that I've been experiencing recently. And I cried. I cried. To the point where my nose started running uncontrollably. I was doing that one thing where you're gasping for air, like, and yeah, I was doing that. And it felt so good. It really felt good in that moment to stop caring so much about the perception of being perceived as weak when you're being vulnerable. It just felt so good to let go of that and cry. And to cry uncontrollably. And she let me cry. She let me cry and she sat there and she looked at me. She said it was okay. She had some like kind of encouraging words throughout, but it wasn't the fact, like, her encouraging words, I appreciate them, but it was the silence and needing someone to listen is what I really wanted. So thank you, Renata. I don't think that I said your name earlier, but she just knows me so well, and it just felt good to have that breakdown. And having that breakdown after, like, a couple days passed, a couple weeks passed, like almost a month passed, and every single day I start to have kind of like a revelation about what I wanted to do to move forward, what I need to write down to get out of my mind, how I need to take like healthy steps to have self-care. You know, I'm just the type of person that whenever I do something, it's never one thing at a time. I have to do multiple things at a time. And then I get burnt out of one or more of the things that I'm doing. And I don't know how to express that. So I continue doing it until I've just had too much. And that's kind of how it was. Whenever I say things, I'm not always meaning work. It could be play very well. For example, I could be working, but then I could also join several different clubs, be on committees, have a leadership position of some role. I don't know, like I can just have a lot of multifaceted things going on in my life, and I give 110% to all of them. And once they stop giving 110% to me, or my 110% is exerted too much because I have all these other things that I'm giving 110% to, I just don't know when to stop. I don't know when to stop until I have a mental breakdown. And that's kind of how it's been recently. I've just had a lot of things going on in my life, so many wheels turning, and I didn't know how to stop. Or I guess my problem this time is whenever I did stop, I didn't know how to get started again because I didn't want to confront how I was feeling. And I don't really know if this makes sense, but I'm really just speaking from my heart, because in order to move forward, I have to do that. And I'm accepting that there are going to be sad bitch episodes in the future. Do I want there to be sad bitch episodes every week? No, I don't want to be a sad bitch every single week. But do I also recognize that there are going to be weeks that I am a sad bitch and I'm not going to put up a front just to produce content? Yeah, that's what I'm realizing. It's not necessarily staying in that sad bitch phase. It's just knowing when to talk about being a sad bitch, I guess. Wow, I honestly, the more that I like talk about this, the better that I feel, because I've just been holding it in this aspect, as far as coming to all of you drunkenistas and letting you know that your fairy drunk mother is not always the happy-go-lucky person. I've been holding it in, and that's why I've been afraid to create content, because I said to myself, you go back when you're happy, when you have exciting news, when you're doing something fun. And why the fuck did I ever tell myself that? I realize that you guys sit here every single week and you listen to me because you can see yourself in my shoes. Some of the crazy stories that I tell, you have just as crazy stories that you could share. Some of the situations that I've gotten myself into, you've gotten yourself into. Some of the advice that I've given, you need that advice. If you guys sit here and listen every single week because I'm being myself. And whenever I was trying to put on this front of being happy-go-lucky every single week, I wasn't thinking about being myself. I was thinking about creating an internet persona that was relatable. And I have to realize that I'm working against myself when I do that. Like, how are you going to create an internet persona that's relatable? The fuck? Like, that makes no sense to me. Like, I don't know why I was thinking like that, because me sitting down every single week and just sharing what I'm going through is what makes me fucking relatable. So for me to try to create relatability, that's the word. For me to try to create that relatability, I was really working against myself because I could have just expressed to you all so much earlier that I am not doing well. That my mental state has been unstable. That I have been questioning what I'm doing, where I'm going. Am I on the right path? And many of you probably feel the same thing. And I think every single week is a learning lesson with me. That's what life is about. That's what life is about. Some lessons I learn sooner than others. Other lessons, it just kind of takes me a little bit longer to come to terms with. And this was one of those lessons that took me a little bit longer to come to terms with. And once again, I think it was just my self-inflictions of being perceived as weak and vulnerable whenever I express that I'm just questioning my fate. That's kind of deep. I don't know if that like necessarily fate, but just questioning what I'm doing and where I'm at right now. So yeah, that's where I've been. My headspace has been all over the place. I recently lost my great-great-grandmother and my great-aunt, and I've been having a lot of car issues, and I had to take a leave of absence from work, so I've been having some financial issues, and I also have been living with my parents for coming up on a year, and I saw myself as moving out, and there's just been like a lot of wheels that have been turning, and then some wheels have stopped, and I'm like, fuck, this wheel has stopped, but I have these other wheels that are turning, how do I catch up? Wow, I am feeling great. Like just talking and not hiding feels so much better than what I was doing. But earlier I said that I'm in a transitional phase of life right now. And I really have been in a transitional phase this past year, but I think more so right now than ever. So last year, if you recall, I quit my 9-to-5 job. I moved back in with my parents and I started my podcast, right? That's where I was at last year. Well, now coming up on a year of living with my parents, doing my podcast and everything, I feel like I should be further than where I am, but I haven't taken time to appreciate where I am. And I think that's something that I'm learning too. Like, I thought moving back home, being here for a year, I would just have my shit in order after a year. And the fact that I don't has had me down in the dumps. The fact that I am still financially unstable, like my mental stability is in and out. I'm still living with my parents. Like the fact that I haven't figured out everything has put me in a rut. And in being in the rut, I haven't worked toward figuring out everything, which is like, bitch, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what the fuck are you doing? And for the longest, I saw myself progressing. And more recently, I've had some setbacks, which I feel like they've stopped me from progressing. But I also know that's not the reality because I am still progressing. It's just hard for me to see. Like, I want to see all the negatives right now. So that's something that's been weighing heavy on me more recently than not is, wow, I want to move out. Well, I had a financial setback that I did not anticipate, and now my funds are kind of tied up. I wanted to quit my jobs entirely and be a full-time podcaster by now. Well, I haven't committed to the consistency in my podcasting. And I don't know, things like that, that I need to take more accountability for and just be more, like, work toward it more. I know that I will be moving out of my parents soon. I know that I will be a full-time podcaster soon. I know that I will be moving out of the state of Missouri soon. I know that I will get my finances back in order. I know this. I know this all to be true, and I know this to be true because I am determined. I am passionate. I am a hard worker. I am persistent. And I could list many more adjectives about myself, but it's a matter of continuing whenever I feel as though I'm down. It's a matter of being honest about how down I'm feeling. It's a matter of, in those moments that I'm feeling down, expressing that and continuing to push forward. And it's a matter of going to therapy again, which is probably my one joke of the day. But honestly, I think that'll help me. Me and Renata also talk about this often, is I'm a very, like, serial therapist type gal. I don't know if that's a term, so don't quote me on that. By serial therapist, I mean, I like to go to therapy when I'm down and whenever I'm feeling better, or like my life is quote unquote going well, everything is in order, like big air quotes there. I don't like to go to therapy. I'm like, oh, I got it. I'm handling my anxiety. Oh, I got it. I'm handling my seasonal depression. Oh, I got it. I'm handling whatever else I may be going through. You know, I don't like to go to therapy when things are good in my life, because to me, I'm like, what's the point? Things are going well. But when things go bad, it's like I have to restart everything completely because I took off all that time, you know? And I think I just need more consistency with my mental health. And that's okay. I think that we as a generation, or not even as a generation, but as a society nowadays, are like recognizing mental health and the importance of it and bringing more awareness to that, which is a great thing. And I'm so aware of my, like, what I need to do, but like I also avoid doing it. So I think more consistency in taking care of my mental health rather than just pacifying it, which is something that I mentioned earlier too. Like, I just think that I've pacified a lot of situations, and I need to actively, that's a good word, I need to actively work to better myself, work to rebuild my financials, work toward being a full-time podcaster, work toward moving out of my parents' house. Not that I've been lazy and sat on my bum for the past year, because that's not true. That's a lie. That's the last thing that I've done. I've been working my ass off. But I also have allowed these obstacles that life throws at me to take too much control of my life. I've really played into them too much and too often. And I have to actively work toward all of these goals in order to make them happen. In the moments that I was good, things were great. I was actively working toward these goals. In the moment where things took a turn for the worse and shit hit the fan, I stopped working toward these goals. And because I stopped working toward these goals, I fell down on myself. And then I had to restart and in the actively working toward them. Ooh, so yeah, I've just been in this negative cycle and I feel like I'm on the verge of a breakthrough. I'm going to tread lightly with that. Like, let me knock on wood. Let me not jinx myself. But I know the first step is talking about it. And I love this community that I've built. And I love how you all aren't afraid to message me, whether it's on Instagram or through email, just to share with me how you were able to relate to a story that I told or how you had a similar experience. I love how you guys reach out. So I don't know why I was so afraid to tell you all this. I knew that you wouldn't think of me any different. So, Drunkenistas, I think that's the end of this episode. I just needed to get that out in order to move forward. I'm going to start actively working on my mental health. And keep you guys updated. Before I come to a close, to those of you drunkenistas who are out there questioning what you're doing, where you are, if you are on the right path, I want to let you guys know that that's okay. That is okay to be questioning it. What is not okay is to give in to that. Okay, it's okay to not have it all together. That's something that I think that I need to hear more than I do. But it truly is okay to not have it all together. And you will figure it out. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how you're going to figure it out, when you're going to figure it out, who needs to be in your life in order to figure it out, because I don't know that myself. I'm just a 24-year-old girl coming on here each week to talk about the shit that I'm going through. So I can't help y'all. I can't help y'all with everything. You got to do a little bit of something yourself. But it's okay and it's going to get better. But in order for it to get better, you have to actively work toward getting better. Whether that's your relationship with yourself, your relationship with others, your work to life balance, your finances, where you live. I don't know. The list could go on. Whatever you are struggling with, it's only going to get better if you actively work toward it getting better. And how you do that is up to you. But the first step is recognizing that you have a problem. Recognizing that you have a problem. If your finances are out of whack, why are they? I can tell you why mine are, because I'm an irresponsible spender. Whenever I get money, I like to blow it. Whether that's going out to eat, going shopping, filling up my tank, which I mean, I have to do that, or going to the movies, getting drinks. I like to spend my money. You know how they tell you that you should save 80% of your paycheck and the other 20% you allocate towards spending? No, mine is like spend 99% of my paycheck toward entertainment and having fun. And then like 1% I hold on until the next paycheck. And that's a habit that I had to get out of. I had to recognize this. I had to make a savings plan. I had to figure out when I needed to pay bills, whether that was like my credit card bill, school loans, so on and so forth. Like, I had to make a plan for my finances so that moving forward, I have savings. So if I have an inconvenience pop up, then it's not just like I'm pulling money out of my ass, you know? As for my anxiety, I'm gonna go to therapy, yay! But like, also, I had to start journaling these thoughts that I was feeling, whether that's in the morning or it's in the night and it's keeping me up. Like, I can't go to sleep. Write that shit down. Talk about it later in a therapy session, you know? Like, I had to make plans to actively work to getting to a better mindset, to actively work to getting to a better financial state, to actively work to have my freedom again and be living on my own. I had to make plans. So, it is okay. It is okay to not know everything, to not have everything together, to not know where you're, what you're doing or where you're going. That is okay. But we got to actively work toward getting better. And you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't say drink wells with others. It's time to stop overthinking and start drinking.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.